I've learned something in my short life. You know, stop trying to go through closed doors. You know, if you can't get in, you can't get in. I'm not going to pry that door open. I'm going to find an open door. And I'm going, wow, Lord, thank you. It's open. I can walk right through it. Amen?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Time to Possess, from the Old Testament book of Joshua. Let's listen in.
I will not, that word really is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God says, I will never walk out on my promises. I've had a lot of people make a lot of promises to me, haven't you? And they didn't keep them all. But God says, you don't have to worry about me. Every promise that I make, I will keep. Oh, we serve such a faithful God. And you know what? Do we have the same promise? The same promises? Well, God says, how about Matthew 1:23? It says that his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. Yes, we have the same promise. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. And one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews 13:5-6, especially from the Amplified Bible, where it says, he himself, meaning God, will never forsake you, will never leave you without support. He goes on and says, I will not ever relax my hold upon you. So that you may boldly say that I will not be terrified. I will not fear. What can man do to me? For the Lord is my helper. Amen. The Lord is my helper. We have the exact same promises. And listen, loved one, it says there, no man will stand before you all the days of your life. Man, that's the continuous his entire life. Listen, if God be for us, his church, his sons and his daughters, who can be against us? No one. We need to rise up in faith and know the Word of God and believe the Word of God tonight, no matter what we see. Joshua is going to fight, and you might correct me on this, if I remember, at least 30 military engagements. Think about that. He's got a war in front of him, and we have a war in front of us. Every day we fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Now, so here it goes in verse 6, and look what God tells him. Joshua says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers, meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. In other words, don't even deviate from it slightly. For that you may prosper wherever you what? Wherever you go. Isn't it amazing that God commands Joshua? He says, Joshua, I'm commanding you now. I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. Why? Because you know, cowards don't possess what God has given them. Did you know that? The fearful, the unbelieving, they don't possess what God is giving them. You got to believe the Word of God, no matter what you're facing in your life, no matter what circumstance comes into your life. And those who God commands, he enables. Now look at where Joshua is to seek and to get his courage and his strength. Look at verse 8. Here it comes. And this book of the law, meaning Genesis through Deuteronomy, okay, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. The word meditate, remember, it really means to mutter or to read aloud. My grandmother always read aloud. She had you remember the magnifying glasses that you would hold in your hand? Y'all, anybody out there remember that? Yeah, you know, my grandmother had kind of like cataracts and she couldn't see very well. And she would get it was big, it was huge, and she had a handle on it. And she would read, and when she read always out loud. Well, that's what it means to meditate. It means to mutter, to speak it out loud. That's why the connection there, the connection, see in verse 8 it says, shall not depart from your mouth. See, because speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Meditate upon the word of God. He says, and as you do that, he says, make sure that you observe or literally do or put into practice, act upon to do according to all that is written in it. Then, and may I say, and only then, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So what was going to guide Joshua into taking and possessing the land? It was the divine wisdom and the word of God. It wasn't human logic and all the rest of it. I mean, can you imagine somebody telling us tonight, I want you to march around this crummy car wash area right there, you know, and the burger box and all that, where they don't ever cut their weeds and they, you know what I'm talking about. So just march around it six times and then the seventh time we're going to blow a trumpet and yell and it's, you know, then it's going to be ours. We would go, that's silly. Well, that's the way God does things, isn't it? God is a supernatural God. His ways are not our ways. You know, we're always trying to figure everything out. God, he says, no, just do what I say. So he says in verse 9, have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong, be courage, don't be afraid, nor dismayed. In other words, don't fall apart. Don't be beaten down. Don't be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I have found that the people that God really uses in this world are those who know that they're not strong. You know what I mean? That's why God says, be strong. That means that Joshua's going, listen, I know that I'm weak. I know that I'm frail. I know that I don't have it all together. I'm aware of my limitations. Isn't it wonderful that God says, I don't want you to look at yourself. I just want you to look at me. You know, we don't have to be a superstar, amen? No, we just have to be what God says. You know, Warren Wiersbe said this, you can never be too small for God to use, only too big. That's a true word. You know, God is not looking for ability. You know, there's nothing wrong with pursuing your doctorate, you know, in divinity and our masters of divinity and those things and in seminary and studying and showing yourself approved unto God, as we all should do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you a superstar, does it? No, the fact of the matter is God's not looking for ability. I mean, remember Balaam's donkey? Okay, so he's looking for availability. He's looking for someone who'll just rise up, you know, and he's looking for a church that'll just say this, it's not by my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? Where God says, I'll empower you. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 4:13? He says that I can do all things. All things. I'm equal to anything through Christ who strengthens me. That word is continuous there in the Greek. So it's who strengthens me minute by minute and hour by hour and day by day. Did you know that you right now possess that strength if you're a believer? How do you live that then? Well, there's only one way. You have to believe it. You have to appropriate it by faith. You have to say, I really can do all things, no matter what it is. Lord, whatever you've called me to do, I can't do it in my own strength, but I have the strength of Christ, amen? And we possess it right now. And oh, how we need to do that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, our sufficiency is not from ourselves, it's from God. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of ourselves. We are not the source of our resources. How wonderful to know this. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And you know, I had somebody say to me the other day, or actually at this meeting, they asked me a question. I said, how in the world did you ever start this charity? I said, I don't have a clue. They said, what do you mean? I said, I have no clue, man. I said, I don't know anything about a charity. I don't know anything about any of it all. I just try to listen to what God says, and I figure he's the one who is his charity, right? So let run it. Here I am. Just use me. Use the people that work here. Dear Lord, God is so good. You know, Joshua, be strong because you're not strong, but be strong in me. And that's the kind of people that God is looking for. And when you look here in verse 10, look at the leader now. God's encouraged him, and then look, Joshua says, he commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into what? possess. That's the key word throughout Joshua, to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So he says, prepare food. Now, we know that the manna was still falling, and when they cross over the Jordan, remember, the manna is going to cease. So they're together and prepare food, because in 3 days, they're going to prepare to cross over. You know, listen, I just said, don't prepare food. You better build a boat, because you got to get across the river. But what I love about Joshua is he just obeyed the Lord. He didn't second guess God. He didn't say, how are we going to get across? He didn't do any of those things. What did he do? He formed a committee and asked the committee what they should do. No, he waited on God. Amen? And that's what everyone in this church should be doing, is waiting on the Lord. Lord, speak to me because your servant hears, and so forth. Listen to the faith of Joshua as he commands his officers. He says there, look, you will cross over. He didn't have a doubt now. God's encouraged him. You will possess the land. You know, I want you to get a picture of this as we move through Joshua. Think about this now. Who are the two oldest people out of every one of the children of Israel? There's only two. Who are they? Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two, remember, that actually came out of Egypt and are there. This is the second generation and so forth. So here they are. They're old. Not old yet. Well, they're getting pretty old, like Daryl and a few of the others tonight, you know? Just a little humor, brother. Now, and look what happened here. It says, and then to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, what's that word? Remember. Remember the word, guys, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Now, your wives, your little ones, your livestock, they're going to remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. See, they haven't crossed over yet. That land belongs to them. That's what they wanted. And he says, they've also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and, look at this, enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, you'll hear that phrase, the Lord's servant, Moses, oh, the servant of the Lord, over and over again in Joshua, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. You remember all the way back in Numbers chapter 32, the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, as they were traveling, they looked at this land. Right here, instead of crossing the Jordan, they were looking at this beautiful land, and even though it was still the wilderness, and they said, man, this is great land. It looks great for their livestock, because they had a lot of livestock. Matter of fact, let me just read it to you from Numbers 32:1. Now the children of Reuben and Gad, they had a very great multitude of livestock, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock, they were guided by their eyes. They hadn't even crossed over into their possession yet. And you know, what troubles me is Canaan was God's best for Gad and the Reubenites and half the tribe of Manasseh. But they looked out there and they said, man, look at all this, the trees, the valleys, all that they have. It's a perfect place for our cattle because they had so many cattle and so forth. But what's so sad is that they stopped short of God's absolute best for them. We do the same sometimes. Oh, that is so sad. And we settle for less. We say, oh, this is good enough for me. And God says, but it wasn't what I had planned for you. See, they didn't appropriate it by faith. They walked by sight. See, they saw it and they said, this is what I want. They didn't even go by faith at all. And you know, when we look at all of this, and you remember, I told you when we were in Numbers 32, but they took that land. But remember, who was the first of the tribes to fall to the Assyrians? They were. And by the time Jesus arrives there in the New Testament into the land of Gad, remember the Gadarene demoniac and all that in Mark chapter 5, I believe it is. Remember, they were in the pig business, you know? And so talking about going downhill. So in verse 16, so they answered Joshua saying this, Joshua, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. So they said, they assured Joshua of their complete obedience to him. And just as we heeded Moses in all things, we will also heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command, does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. I don't want to be like the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. Again, they were content. Matter of fact, they're going to go across and fight with the rest of them. But the fact is, they weren't even searching out or wanting to search out the things that God had for them. You know, they're what some people call borderline believers. They're right there on the border, you know, and they separate themselves. They live on one side and while the others move on and do the rest and so forth. And even though that they fight with Israel, they're going to return. They're going to go back to the other side of the Jordan, which is the area of the wilderness. And they were so close to their God-given possession, but they never claimed it. If we don't walk through the doors today that God has given us, we're going to be content to just sit, sour and soak, and never move forward. Say, oh, Bill, there's no reason to do this or no reason to do that. You know, the building is paid for. There's money in the bank. And, oh, you know, we're content. Let's just keep everything. No, that's not what God wants us to do. You know, let's make a quick application while we have time. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in the New Testament. And let's just quickly look at something. We won't be much longer. I want you to look at verse 3. Of Paul's letter to this church here at Ephesus. He says this in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has," what? "Blessed us." Do you believe that God's blessed you? "Has" is past tense, meaning it is a fact. It's a present reality. It says, has blessed us with what? Every. Say that word, every. Now here's the question. Are you going to possess every one of them or not? Am I going to do it? Are we at Calvary Chapel? Are we going to do that? It says every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and look who it's in Christ Jesus. Listen, we of the 21st century church, we have been pronounced blessed by God our Father, and God cannot lie. So obviously we're blessed, but our resources, they're just not promised here. God says they're already your possession. You already have all of this. And that tells me something. If I have been blessed with, it didn't say a few, it said with all, every spiritual blessing. Now listen, that means that they're mine. That means that they're yours. Amen? Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? Is there a movie on or something later? I mean, are y'all consumed with anything? Listen, we're not going to get any more than we already have. If God has already given us every spiritual blessing, there's not any more to be had. Is that correct? Well, then, I mean, you know, and you know that you're guilty of this. I've been guilty of this, not lately, but you have, but not me. You know, I've heard Christians, we've always said, I just need more love. Well, you're not going to get any more love. Well, I need more love to love people. No. What does it say in Romans 5:5? That God has poured out into our hearts what? The love of God has been poured into our hearts, what? Lavishly by the Holy Spirit, this which has been given unto us. We have all of the love of God that we're ever going to get. Do you know that? Well, I need more love. No, you need to believe you have it. I had somebody talk to me, I just don't have any love in my heart, God's love in my heart. I said, well, then you don't believe the Bible. Well, I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry, you know, sister, brother, you don't know now who it is. I said, the fact of the matter is I said, you have all the love of God you're ever going to get. It's already been poured out into your heart. Already, it's right there. All you have to do now is let it out. You know, well, I don't have any peace. Well, who told you you didn't have any peace? You're not going to get any more peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I've given unto thee. Amen? Yeah, but I have all this fear. Well, you didn't get that from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Now, the question is, do we really believe that? You see, that's how we possess our possessions. That's how we move in and say, Lord, I don't care what I'm seeing. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I'm not in denial of my circumstances. I know that my bank book is empty. I know that my marriage is in trouble. I know that my kids are a bunch of morons. I understand all of this. You know, they're driving me crazy. And Lord, I know what I'm facing in my life. But you said in your word that every spiritual blessing has been given unto me, and the only way I can appropriate it and take it and possess it is by faith. Amen. There is absolutely no other way. It says in 1 Peter 1:3, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's not anything else to receive. The only thing we can do is go out and take it by force and say, Lord, I believe it. We either lay hold of it or we don't lay hold of it. You see, Joshua was given the land. You have the title deed. It is totally yours. But do you know what? Did they have to go fight for it? Did they have to go take it? Yes, and that's what we have to do as well. It says in Joshua 1:3, every place that the sole of your foot you tread upon, I have given you. There are days when I say to myself, when I look at things that I'm facing, say, you know, church, Love Never Fails International, whatever it might be, and I say, I don't know what to do, and I don't know where it's going to come from. But Lord, your word says in 1 Corinthians 3:21 that all things are yours. And that you, of course, are the supplier of our every need. And I look to you completely. I look to you totally. And I'm expectant. And I believe that the answer is on the way. I believe that your healing is on the way. I believe that victory, I already possess it. It's just not manifested in the natural from the supernatural yet. Lord, I believe it by faith. I appropriate by faith. You know, I hear people, you know, I was listening to Pastor Thomas when he preached a message about tarrying in Jerusalem. He said, you don't have to tarry. And you know what? He was right. Matter of fact, you'd have to go all the way to Jerusalem if you wanted to do any tarrying, okay? In other words, to be endued with power upon high. You don't have to tarry. It belongs to you. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit each and every day of your life, over and over again. That doesn't mean we're not going to have sad days. I have sad days just like you do. But you know what? That doesn't change the Word of God. I have Blue Mondays. You know what Blue Mondays? You know, remember Bobby Vinton? I think that was Bobby Vinton. Roy Orbison? It doesn't really matter. Probably Willie Nelson. But that doesn't change the Word of God. I'm down in the dumps. It doesn't change the Word of God. It doesn't change the promises of God. You know, we already have it, but it's time to possess it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is right this minute. In the eyes of God, that is where we are seated. You can't change that position. Amen? You know, I want to tell you something. Now listen to me. When we go, you know, I'm just now starting to finally be able to look at that little piece of land over there called the I Am Terrell area, the worst part of Fort Worth. It is nothing. And I absolutely refuse to look at that with all of the emptiness I see and all the heartache I see and all the loneliness that I see and the fighting and the hatred toward one another, all the things that I see there and how people just want to contain it instead of changing it. I don't see a giant. I see a little speck of land with people on it, and I see the powers of darkness trembling. You know why? Because a church is going to rise up and they're saying, by faith, I can take the land. It is my possession. And those people that are in it are going to be touched. Some of them made whole, addictions no more and so forth. Why? Because of faithful people who see an open door. Amen? That's what it's all about. You say, well, Bill, we have to defeat the devil. I don't have to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. Why would I try to defeat someone who's already defeated and has been defeated? And I have overcome him because I'm in the one who overcome him. Amen? Well, I need wisdom. Well, James 1:5 says we don't have to beg for wisdom. He gives liberally. Oh, he says, I want to pour it out on you. Everything we need is there. And it's all found in Christ. We have everything we need. I think it's time as we go through the book of Joshua and we see them take their possession that we do the same thing. It is time as we approach 2015 to lay aside fear, to lay aside doubt and unbelief and all of those things. And let us not be content where we are in our spiritual walk. Let us not be content at all. And listen, let's cross over our Jordan, and let's cross over together. Listen to me. Don't be afraid to get your feet wet. Amen.
Well, Pastor Bill continues his study of Joshua on our Monday broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you for listening today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.